I was 13 or 14 years old. I then realized, no, okay, I definitely like guys and prefer guys. So I guess since then it's kind of been this process of coming to accept myself and get over the fear and the, I guess, like tabooness of coming out as gay, because it really is something that, like, you have to kind of battle and learn to accept about yourself and feel really comfortable about. And I guess just in this last year particularly, I really started to feel comfortable with who I was. I told about 30 or so players on tour that I was gay, and they all were extremely accepting and very loving. So it made me feel really comfortable, and it was part of my New Year's resolution this year to come out as gay to the entire disc golf world, because I know how big of an impact I can make on some of the people out here in our sport, especially who don't feel that same love and support from others in their life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Approachable. I'm Joe Henderson.
And I'm Paige Pierce. And today we have a guest that you probably actually already know. Most of our guests have been people under the radar and behind the scenes heroes, but this is Thomas Gilbert. He is a touring professional, and a lot of you guys already know him. So without further ado, let's just welcome Thomas on. But first, we want to say thank you again to Jomez Pro, who brings this podcast out to you guys. And thank you all for listening and or watching.
All right. So Paige, here we have today my fellow Canadian friend named Thomas Gilbert. Thomas, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you?
I'm doing great. So good to have you on Approachable Podcast, brought to you by Jomez Pro. And yeah, we just have a couple questions for you today. And we wanted to have you on mostly because it sounds like and looks like where are you right now? Like, what is going on?
I am in South Point, Hawaii. So on the Big Island. Paige Pierce was a big part of getting me out here. Really short notice. I guess I was talking to her in, mid-November about coming down to Hawaii to see the Big Island, and we booked the trip while I was still in Pensacola, and just all fell in place, and now I'm here living it up in Hawaii.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome, like, Thomas. So much fun. That's so good.
I'm so glad you took my recommendation. I hope it lived up to the hype I gave it, and
it has
amazing. Yeah. We could see the water behind you while we were setting up the call, and you know, I can just, we'll keep it short so we can get you down to the beach. But, you know, I think the main reason that we're having you on here today is because another conversation that we had when you were in Pensacola, mm-hmm. around the same time, we're talking about Hawaii. You know, I came into the house, Eric and Tina's house, and you said, you know, we said our pleasantries, hello, good to see you. And then you just said, I'm gay. And I was like, All right, Thomas. Like, and it was just so like heartwarming to me for you to just, there it is, you know, and no like beating around the bush. And I think that, you know, in my coming out too, like a lot of people don't know how to talk about it. And the questions, like, they kind of like tiptoe around the questions, right? And that's why, although I would never do how you did the post of just I'm gay, it was so great because you didn't tiptoe around it. And if you don't tiptoe, why should anyone else, right? So I just want to applaud you for that. And also just ask you, like, how long have you known you're gay? And why did you decide to come out when you did and how you did?
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a long journey of kind of coming to know myself and being comfortable in my own skin. I probably realized that I was different around 11 or 12. That's when I kind of realized, I don't just have an interest in only girls. I also find my guy friends attractive too. And then it was like a year or two of kind of like, maybe I just like both, maybe not. And then the freshman year of high school, or I guess when I was 13 or 14 years old, I then realized, no, okay, I definitely like guys and prefer guys. So I guess since then it's kind of been this process of coming to accept myself and get over the fear and the, taboo-ness of coming out as gay, because it, it really is something that like you have to kind of battle and learn to accept about yourself and feel really comfortable about. And I guess just in this last year particularly, I really started to feel comfortable with who I was. I told about 30 or so players on tour that I was gay, and they all were extremely accepting and very loving. So it made me feel really comfortable, and it was part of my New Year's resolution this year to come out as gay to the entire disc golf world, because I know how big of an impact I can make on some of the people out here in our sport, especially who don't feel that same love and support from others in their life.
Totally. And you know, you mentioned, first of all, I noticed you said the word different, and I want to correct you and say you're not different. You know, there are so many people out there that are gay, and
totally.
That's what society has made us think, is that if you're part of the LGBTQIA plus community, then you're different. But clearly, with all these letters and growing, you're not different, right? And that's kind of beautiful. But I guess my question is, when you spoke of that you had fear, so what was that fear? Like, was there a specific fear or set of fears that you had, like that you thought, oh, if I say I'm gay, I don't want this to happen?
So yeah, I guess the fear started out from my experiences growing up, the environment I was kind of raised in, and mostly throughout school as well, because that really kind of shapes the person that you become, what you feel comfortable with. And I think if it was a little bit different, I would have been able a lot more comfortable coming out sooner. But in high school, we still had some kind of homophobic slurs thrown around, like the phrase, mm-hmm. that's so gay, or just using it kind of as like a derogatory remark of like, oh, that was a gay move, or that was a gay thing to do, or like just saying it in regards to like being negative or being bad. Mm-hmm. And so it always was like, oh, well, if they're describing all these bad things as gay, like I don't want to like reveal myself to them that I'm gay, and like what would they make those same bad remarks about me? Because there was a queer person that was out in my high school, and they did get a lot of bullying, a lot of hate from certain people, and mostly it's all like behind the back, and so I'm not sure exactly how much of that they actually got to their face, but it just made it a very unwelcoming environment, and so I really didn't feel comfortable to start telling people until I was out of high school. So I told my parents during my last year of high school, and then when I went to university, I started to come out to like a few different people and friends that I had made in that university, and then slowly felt more comfortable telling more people and more people until I felt comfortable enough telling everyone publicly.
Yeah, I think that the way you did it, Thomas, was incredibly beautiful. And I think I would love to hear, how has this impacted the disc golf community for you? And how has that mm-hmm. been hearing the stories of others, like, and how they feel open about that too?
It has been amazing. I mean, I've literally been the happiest I've been in the last 2 days just since I've come out. All the messages over Instagram and Facebook and text messages and Facebook messages, Instagram DMs. Like, I think I got over 3,500 different comments or messages from different people.
Oh my
just
goodness.
In, like, maybe only 30 total negative. Or, like, not even negative, but just people that are confused on how to accept the right. like different kind of lifestyle to them, and just haven't really learned to like accept the people like myself. So I mean, it was amazing just to see the overwhelming support and just like feel included from the disc golf community. It was also really, really cool. I probably had maybe 2 or 3 dozen different people from the LGBTQIA plus community reach out to me and say that they really felt moved by me coming out and taking that step for us in the disc golf community, because it is like a really big thing to like have an idol to like look up to. And there was probably maybe around a dozen or so people that are like, hey, you gave me a lot of courage. I'm still in the closet now, but I wanted to let you know that you really had a big impact on me and you're a huge role model. And that just that feels
That's
so
huge.
Good. It's honestly one of
That's amazing,
the best feelings in the entire
Super
world.
Cool.
And so I'm so happy that I can just by me being open to everyone have that kind of impact on them.
Totally. That's incredible. For our listeners that are just listening right now, I highly encourage you to hop over to our YouTube and watch this back, because the video is contagious. Thomas's smile. I know he said he's the happiest he's ever been, but you're making me smile ear to ear over here. And I'm just so happy for you. And I want you to give your perspective on some of the ways that the disc golf community can be more welcoming to players that, like that guy that messaged you, said he's still in the closet. Like, how can we as a community make people feel more welcome and comfortable so that they can come out?
Mm-hmm. I think it really starts with just being open-minded and accepting to anything, and really trying to kind of be careful with your words, because, like, I was hesitant to come out in the disc golf world because even just some remarks that I've heard made on tour. I'm not going to name names, obviously, but like, there are some players that will talk and use homophobic slurs in a way to either, like, get angry at themselves. They'll say, "Oh, stop throwing like a faggot," or "Stop being so gay. Like, that shot was so gay." Wow. And, like, that really, like, I think can instill fear into, like, oh, wow, they're talking about this in such a negative way that you're using these known, like, gay terms to talk poorly about something. And so, I don't know, it made it feel really, like, awkward, or, like, is it as accepting as I think it is? Like, are they just using that because it's a common way for people to use slang? I'm not sure, but I think eliminating that, if I didn't really ever have those, like, minor setbacks that kind of put a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt in my mind that it would be so open and so accepting, then I would have been able to come out a lot sooner and feel a lot better about coming out publicly.
I think, Joe, like, I want to hear your opinion on this too. Like, for myself, I know that I used to use those phrases, and it's in my mind when I'm saying it, I'm not trying to, when I did say that, and I wasn't even thinking about someone that was gay. Uh-huh. You know, like you said, it was just kind of like this high school slang. And then it turned into just being our common vocabulary. And then when I realized I was gay, and I'm saying that out loud, even after I realized, I'm like, whoa, that is crazy that that's so deeply ingrained. And just like us saying hello has become so common, you know, I would hope that we can take that out of our vocabulary. But Joe, like, did you feel like you heard that around your area?
I definitely heard that growing up. And I don't know, I feel like in that, like, high school age is, like, kind of what you were saying, Thomas. But I definitely heard it. And I felt like the people that actually were saying it were actually some of the people that later came out, who were, like, using that term almost negatively because they didn't really, like, believe in themselves, like you were saying, Thomas, or fully, like, know who they were at that time. And actually, the people that I'm remembering, like, there are two people in specific that I'm remembering that they actually ended up coming out later, and were 100% fully accepted. But I did come from a small town, so I'm wondering if it, after they moved out of that small town, if that became, I don't know, a more acceptable thing or a more common thing for them. But
Like I was saying, I think a lot of it does kind of have to do with that environment that you're in. And if you move out of that kind of, like, that scary or fearful environment where that is so normal, and you come to a place that might be more accepting, that's when you kind of realize, hey, it's okay to be who I am. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's not something I need to be afraid of. And that, and then they come to realize that it's okay to be the way they are.
Yeah. And I also think that as kids, you don't really notice, like, how your words affect, I don't know, how your words affect other people. And you just say things because you hear it and you don't really know what it means, but you just say it because it's just what you say or how you say it. Absolutely. Or it's a common thing to say. And for me, I feel like that's where it came from, is like someone made it, I don't know, quote unquote, cool to say it, and it's not. But someone made it that way and they started saying it that way. And then it just caught on in negative aspect. But
Well, let's do our part to try to eradicate those terms. Yeah. And I think that with Thomas, you know, being so incredibly bold and just courageous, you know, it's like,
seriously,
it's contagious. And I think that every time you go to a new city this year, you're going to have people come up to you and maybe even little kids come up to you and just say, and you're going to feel that love tenfold your whole life. So congratulations. I'm very happy for you. We do have a couple more questions on a different topic real quick, if you don't mind. I know you're trying to get to the beach. We really want to ask all of our guests like their disc golf history and what made disc golf feel so approachable to you. Like when you were first starting out, did you feel like this was like your little niche in the world? And yeah, just basically your whole disc golf history and what made it feel like you wanted to keep coming back?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I played a whole bunch of sports growing up, all the way throughout school. I was on as many teams as I could possibly join. And then also, like, Ultimate Frisbee was one of the sports that kind of, like, slowly introduced me into disc golf. Because one of my friends, they knew I enjoyed Ultimate, and they were like, hey, you should come out and try disc golf someday. I think you'd really like it. And I went out to the disc golf course, played it. Was terrible, but enjoyed every moment of it. And so it's just that hook that everyone kind of feels. And so I kept going with it. I kind of got more into the disc golf community, started going to leagues and getting the tournaments. And then by that time, it was so amazing and inclusive and fun that like I immediately went in full dive into the disc golf world. I very quickly watched every piece of content that there was in disc golf at the time. I watched all the videos, went to all the tournaments, went to the U.S. for the first time the year after I started playing to go to GBO and meet the pros and participate in events. And then that same year, 2017, I played in the Professional Disc Golf World Championships in Georgia and just had a blast, had so much fun. And then by 2018, I was touring.
Oh, that's yeah. I just remembered that story you were telling me about at that DDO or GBO, whatever it was called that year. You went up to Paul Macbeth and you were like, again, another Thomas Gilbert being as bold as can be moment where you tell the story.
Yeah. So I was there at GBO. I was super excited to meet and interact with all my favorite pros. And so one of the days, we were out at Opie Lake for a practice round, and Paul was out in the little field off to the side of the course, just warming up before his round. And I was like, hey, my name's Thomas. I'm a really big fan. Do you mind if I try throwing one of your destroyers? And he was just like, sure, yeah, I guess, whatever. And, like, now that I'm a pro, it's, like, realized, like, yeah, that's not that big of a deal. But it was, like, humongous at that time. Like, it was just so cool to, like, throw one of the, like, pro AVR stamp destroyers that I had, like, heard only legend about before on coverage. And it was just such a fun experience. And all my friends are like, are you crazy? Like, what are you doing talking to Paul Macbeth and throwing his discs? Like,
Let alone talking to him, but throwing his disc.
Yeah. It was a bold thing of me to do, but that is kind of my personality, and I don't regret it.
I love it.
And look at where it's gotten you to. It's opened you up into the community, the professional community. Now he knows who you are. You probably get to throw his discs every season now.
That's awesome. So, okay, now what does a young kid have to do to come to the States to play internationally? Like, and you know, now you're kind of in a different situation, right? You're an adult, but what did you do back then? And now what steps do you take in planning an international tour?
Yeah. So it kind of started just coming down every once in a while, maybe spending a week or two here and there, which, as a Canadian is absolutely fine, because we have a little rule that you can come and visit the States as like a tourist, basically enjoying and just doing stuff for up to 6 months of the year. I know for like European players, I think it's only 4 months of the year. And so once I started touring full time, I was kind of balancing that 6 month line. And so I was trying to plan out events and being back in Canada as well to try to only get up to that 6 months or the 182 days, whatever it is, that it could be in the States. And then, so before last season, in 2021, I was working really hard, started in October, applying for a US work visa, to be in the States full time. I know that this was a possibility and something I could do because Simon Lizotte had gotten the same work visa in 2019. And so I went through, I messaged Simon, connected with him, got the same immigration lawyer that he had connected with and been successful with, set up a whole proposal for getting my US visa, and then by January of 2021, it was approved for 5 years, so until the end of 2026. And I can be now in the
Wow.
States touring full time
Wow.
until December
That's
31st,
amazing.
2026.
So it lasts lots of years. That's awesome. I was wondering how Simon's living here. Pretty much.
Yeah, right?
Right?
That is very cool. Yeah. I know we've had conversations, Thomas, about that as well because I've been dabbling with the idea of like being on tour in the States and like kind of entering that realm. I don't know. But yeah, no, you've given a lot of perspective, so that helps our disc golf community who is international, especially from Canada. So yeah, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Awesome, Thomas. Well, we just want to thank you for coming on so much, and we'll let you get back to your Hawaiian vacation. You got just a couple days left. I want to make sure that you go to some of my favorite places, so I'm going to send you my, I have like a map with all these saved spots. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, cool.
But make
Yeah,
sure, have
I
you been
want
to the
like the
like
first thing I did
Pahoa
was
side?
watching your video. And I watched like your
Awesome.
video like
Okay.
3 times,
Okay.
and like I think we've done almost every single one of the things that you had put in the video. So, and one of my favorites probably
Awesome.
so
Okay.
far
Awesome.
was the Kalamara Caves, the big volcanic tubes. There you walk down
Yeah.
those
Yeah.
stairs, and yeah, I went like all the way to the end of it, 3 miles down, just in this dark lava tube the entire time.
Wow.
3 miles probably one of the
Amazing.
coolest parts of this trip so far.
That
Yes.
is
So
so
crazy.
crazy.
Like,
So
where else
happy.
would you get to do that? That's so cool.
Only in Hawaii.
You
Only
gotta put
in
that top
Hawaii.
down that you're in
I
right
know.
now.
Yeah, we gotta
Top to that
take this
G.
roof off.
Thank you so much for showing us, just how inclusive disc golf can be and just being bold for all the generations under us. We really appreciate your time and your
Thanks,
openness.
Thomas. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you,
Appreciate you,
guys.
Thomas. Thank you so much.
Anything you want to shout out, or like you got any
Yeah.
big projects coming up? Anything you want to shout out?
Just want to say thank you to everyone. I mean, again, the inclusiveness and the support was amazing to see and hear. That's going to be the main message this podcast. So, I mean, of course, thank you to everyone who's supporting me in disc golf and all my sponsors. But yeah, really, the message is to all the fans and friends out there. Thank you for being so supportive and inclusive towards me. It really means a lot.
That's
Awesome.
awesome. So
All right,
cool.
well, have a great day with your family, and we will see you in Pensacola soon. And Joe might be here.
All
That's
right,
true.
sweet.
We'll
Sounds
see you
good.
there.
All right, thank
All
you.
right,
Have a
bye,
good
Thomas.
one. We'll see you, Thomas. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Paige, it was so good to hear from Thomas and just to see the joy on his face. Like, honestly, you can just hear it and see it. It's so contagious, like you were saying. What did you think of that conversation?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I'm so happy that I know we're a podcast first and foremost, but I was so happy to have the video and to be able to see his big smile. And he's just, it's contagious. It really is. And for anyone out there who is not feeling that, maybe you tuned in and you're just because you want to understand him better or you want to understand people that are different from you. After watching that, I can't even imagine that there's anyone out there that could have anything but positive things to wish to Thomas or to think. But
Of course.
I personally thought that it was great to talk to him. And again, I'm just so proud of him for just being a voice to all those people out there that feel scared to share their voice.
Yeah, exactly. And you heard how amazing it like felt to Thomas to be that leader for people. Like, how cool is that? That he is kind of leading people into that and creating a conversation that is positive and open. I think, yeah, he did such an amazing job of communicating that.
You know, this has been quite a strong topic in the disc golf community lately, has just been just being inclusive. And I think that it was kind of a no-brainer for us to get Thomas on the show because we are approachable and we want to show that disc golf is approachable to everyone. And to have a player on that is starting, hopefully starting this movement of becoming more open, I think it was kind of a no-brainer, and something, especially with the timing, with all the talk of transgender athletes and, you know, what should exactly be taking place, guidelines and stuff like that. So what is your take on all of that, Joe? And where do you think we are in the sport of disc golf? Like, where do you think we are and where do you think we should head?
I think we're definitely getting more progressive, and I think we're definitely opening up the conversation, which I think is the first start, right? And asking the questions and discussing like human adults should. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I don't know, I was actually really moved by your post the other night there, Paige, when you chatted about going to that tournament. And maybe you could even just share that with us a little bit.
Something that Thomas kind of touched on actually was that he kind of would hear whisperings of people saying like, oh, he's gay, oh, you know, and I've kind of been hearing those whisperings on tour as well, you know, and it's reminded me of high school in a way, and that's something where I think I hope in Paige's perfect world that we don't have any judgment that we're passing towards anyone. And we kind of eradicate all of those behind the scenes whispers. If you have a problem, feel free, you know, but express that problem right to Thomas or right to the transgender athlete. Don't beat around the bush and talk to your friends about it. I bet it would be so like unexpected, but so appreciated that someone would come up to them and just ask them, hey, do you mind telling me more? I don't personally think that transgender should be playing the women's division, but I would like to hear your take on why.
Right, exactly. You know, like that example.
That would just be such a, like you said, human adult conversation that would shed some light and allow both parties to learn from each other. So I think, you know, for me, playing the tournament was kind of to kind of like scout in a way, is this an unfair advantage? Mm-hmm. Does Chloe, Alice, in this particular instance, does Chloe have an unfair advantage? Does Natalie Ryan have an unfair advantage? And if so, at what point do we make that decision? Hey, it's not fair. You should blank, 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 whatever the guidelines are. Right. And like, what if we found out that if you're, I don't even know, but how do we even determine what the unfair advantage is?
Yeah, you know? It's true. Without actually testing the waters and to see and to know for yourself, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as testosterone levels go, which I think that that's a big part of the people that are against it. I think that's a big part of their argument is that they're, they have, you know, bigger, I've heard and read this, that they have bigger, shoulders and hands, and that helps them throw farther and whatnot.
Right. Like their physical attributes then.
Yeah. Their physical attributes, but you know, it may sound funny, but I've witnessed plenty of men that aren't very good at disc golf.
There
you
go.
Know,
yeah.
Just the pure aspect that you're a man doesn't make you better at disc golf, you know? But I don't know. Who's to say what an unfair advantage is, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we have to leave that to our governing bodies.
Exactly. I think that the PDGA and honestly Disc Golf Pro Tour, I think they are the ones that are going to navigate that, and we are there to support them and to help them, and we can do discussions with them and whatever else that might be. But honestly, I don't think it's for us to judge. I don't think we really have a proper place to be judging any of that when they are going through the steps to make it approachable for everyone, right? So like, I think that they're just trying to do the best that they can and navigate it in that way, right?
Right. And you know, think about 50 years ago, white people were shunning black
totally.
People.
Yeah.
And then think of, you know, 15 years ago, straight people were shunning gay mm-hmm. people. And now, and you know, some of that still exists today, but now we're kind of to the point of this now, oh, you were born a man, you were born a woman,
right.
And those people are getting shunned. And at a certain point, we try to become unified as a society, and it's up to all of us to, like we're talking about with Thomas, right? And it's up to us to how we talk about these other people.
Exactly.
You know, to not make them feel hate, to not make them feel out of place and outcasted. And I think that whatever your take on this is, send in a letter to the PDGA, mm-hmm. send in a letter to the Disc Golf Pro Tour, send in a letter to us. Mm-hmm. And by a letter, I mean an email.
That's right.
It's 2022, but
yeah.
send in your thoughts. And I'm sure that it's so new that it's hard to navigate mm-hmm. for everyone, because we're making up new rules as we go,
yeah.
right? And the PDGA right now has the same rules as the Olympics in their competition forms. So that's what they're going off of right mm-hmm. now. But I'm sure as more and more people give their opinions, things might change. So if you feel like you have a good voice and you feel like you are level-headed and can, you know, kind of like pitch an idea out,
mm-hmm.
I think that it would be appreciated and encouraged to bring some thoughts forward.
Yeah, I think that would actually help the PDGA and help the Disc Golf Pro Tour, because honestly, they're just kind of like paving the road as it's going, right? Like they're just kind of trying their best and navigating the best that they can. And they're just learning from other people that have kind of already done this and gone along that way. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's
totally.
A great advice, Paige. I think if you do have concerns, or if you do have, I don't know, maybe if you have a different take on it, then maybe you should just write in and then we can all have a nice, healthy discussion about it.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that too, like even if you have a good opinion of it, because I, you know, it's easy when we feel strongly, you know, when you hate a restaurant, you go on Yelp and you talk about all the bad things, right?
So
but how much more rare is it to go and give positive feedback? So I think I want to encourage anyone that's listening or watching, if you guys out there do have a positive stance on it, also give your opinions, because sometimes the negative voices can be so loud
mm-hmm.
and it's important to speak up with positive voices as well, so that we can hear all different sides of the story and different opinions.
Yeah.
And then that helps the PDGA to be like, okay, which of these is correct, or should we blend those together and kind of make a new avenue?
Yeah, I would also be interested to hear like the experience that other disc golfers have maybe had with like playing with transgender people, because I haven't had the opportunity to play with anyone, but I would definitely love to, and I would love to hear the opportunities that have come about that and their experience, because I'm sure they've probably been like amazing disc golfers out there, and I want to hear about them.
Yeah. And you know, if you are a transgender person, please write us in,
mm-hmm.
give us your thoughts, tell us, you know, we welcome you here.
Exactly. Basically. This is an we welcome all-inclusive everybody. Place.
Anybody that has any questions, feedback, concerns, comments, send it in. We would love to learn more mm-hmm. about it, honestly. Definitely. You know, it's so new to me still. Like I said, I was kind of in a way almost scouting Chloe. And I've played with Natalie Ryan, and now I've played with Chloe. And, it's, for me, I'm trying to take a step back and observe and think, okay, she doesn't have that, like, outward testosterone where when you get mad, you're just, like, raging. She has nothing like that. Neither of them. They have no... There's no way that they propel the disc out of their body that is something that I don't feel capable of doing mm-hmm. and that I don't think that you, Joe, could do.
Right.
And, maybe for some women who are smaller built, it might take a little more work to do that. Maybe you need to do some disc golf strong workouts. Maybe you need to lift some weights mm-hmm. or something like that to gain a little bit more muscle mass. But that's just... happens in human anatomy as well. Mm-hmm. Some boys grow up to be 6 foot tall. Some boys grow up to be 5 foot five,
exactly.
But I think that we're all capable of the talent. Mm-hmm. And by we, I mean females. Mm-hmm. I think that us females are capable of what I have seen both Natalie and Chloe do. And in my personal opinion, I didn't find it to be an unfair advantage. But I can see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Like I said, I would like to learn more, continue learning about it every single day and educating myself. They are both going to be on tour in 2022. So that's I'm awesome. Sure this conversation will continue. But
yeah,
I think that the other conversation that's going to continue is clearly about Thomas's story here and just hoping that some other disc golfers feel inspired by him coming out and just again that we welcome everyone here mm-hmm. and not just here on Approachable but here in disc golf.
Exactly.
And I really hope that that is what people leave this episode with, is that we all are in the Frisbee family together. Mm-hmm. We all love each other and we just want to see some discs fly.
Exactly. I think that is our common thread within us all, Paige, is that we just want to see some good shots. Like, we just want to see those discs fly. We want to see some pure lines. That's what we're here for. So
and the smiles, exactly. that Thomas smile that he just gave, when you rip a good shot, yeah. when you get an ace, when you hit a 70 foot
exactly.
putt or a 50 foot putt, you get that smile and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I love it.
What you were born, what color you are, what anything, you have that smile and that should be contagious to your card mates and everyone around you. So again, I know this was a topic that probably is going to have a little bit of, let's say, differing sides, but I think that that is good and I think that that's healthy. And I want to say thank you to Jomez Pro for giving us this platform and to get these conversations started, because none of us know what should be happening, but we're all trying to figure it out together.
Exactly.
So, like I said, write us an email if you're listening. Write us an email if you're watching. Send us a comment right here on YouTube and we will do our best to answer your questions and to talk further about these topics that you guys are interested in.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful day.